Bible, will you take it with me, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, will be in various passages of Scripture this morning, but we begin in Luke, chapter 10. And as we begin, let's look to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Father, for the year that has gone by, and we thank you for the year that we can look forward to. We pray that we might consider the things that are said this morning and that we might grow thereby. We thank you for this opportunity to be together, and we pray your blessing upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. Roxy and I were remembering the other evening that it was only a short time ago that we were concerned about Y2K. Now, some of you aren't old enough to even remember that, but that was some 17 years ago. Oh, man. We didn't think we were going to make it to 2001, let alone 2017. So the pundits were warning us at the time, you know, the talking heads that you see on TV even today, they're still there as well. But they warned us that the world was going to end in the way that we knew it. And it was about to fold in on top of us from every angle that you could think of. I mean, it was just a beautiful thing to watch. Now, there were some ripples in the changing of the century, that is true, but for the most part, most of us live to tell the tale. You probably live in one of those times once again. The pundits now are telling us that because of the president we have elected, that our world will now come to an end, but trust me, folks, that ain't going to happen. The fact remains that as we look back, some of our loved ones' lives changed, and they changed dramatically. There were folks in the year 2000, as a matter of fact, there were folks at the beginning of the year of 2016 that were here who are no longer here. They have gone home to be with Christ. And it seems to me that we are all 1 year closer to something that is radically different. There are going to be changes in this year ahead that we cannot control. This world is not in our control. I think that we as Americans have this really weird view that somehow we can make things happen. It just ain't so. I mean, vote. That's what you can do. And I'm not even sure that that counts, but that's a whole nother subject. As this new year begins, there are many things that are going to change drastically for some of us. And since we're 1 year closer to the day when Christ returns, that final destiny of ours will be determined forever. So I want to take an opportunity to provoke your thinking a little bit. For some, this might be unpleasant. I hope it isn't. But for some of us, it might be an opportunity for us to stop and evaluate and reevaluate what we're doing with our lives. I think the first thing that I had to think about was, how did I use last year? And that might be something for you to think about as well. How did you use the year of 2016? Did you use it well? And how might we together as a church, as a body of fellowship, stimulate each other to doing better, to accomplishing better things, to living in a better way? And so we don't misunderstand each other, let me give you the crux of what I have to say this morning, and then you can all not pay attention. The goal is to encourage us to make better time, make better use of the time that we have left, to prepare us for the day that Christ returns, which I believe is quickly coming. It could be in 2017. Now, that's a possibility. It may be later than that. I don't know. It's not for us to know. It's for us to be ready. It's for us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to God until the time that He gets here. So I begin this morning by asking us questions that only you can answer from your heart. I mean, it's inside of you. So I'm not asking you to raise your hand or, you know, come forward publicly and tell me what a rotten person you are and how you lived terribly in 2016. That's not the goal here. And if you think that my goal is to produce guilt, that isn't it either. So if you feel guilty, let me tell you a little something about guilt. Guilt is the opposite of doing what you need to have done, right? So if you feel guilty, it's just a substitute for doing what you should do. Does that make any sense to you? Okay. So no guilt, no guilt. That's not the idea. So if what our Lord says is true, if he in fact told us what is the most important thing in life, what are the most important attitudes that we ought to have, then his words are instructive to us. And as we look to the immediate future, we look back at Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And here's what it says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. In your mind's eye then, as you look toward the past year, look back and take a look. What are those experiences in your mind and in your heart that you see back there that fulfill what Jesus told us were the two most important things? If the most important things to him in relationship to God are to love God with all that you have and to love your neighbor as yourself, how did you do? So I look back over the past year and I ask myself the question during this week, did my love for my Lord deepen or did it wane? And within that context, there is the importance of the Word of God, because that is the only guide that we have outside of the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. To know God is to know the Word of God. When I know you, there are some things that we assume about knowledge of one another, aren't there? I know you because I've had conversations with you. We've sat down and talked together. I have a relationship with you. It is a ongoing process. And so when God speaks, we need to know what his word says. What did I do in 2016 to make my life come closer to the Lord? You know, James 4 says that if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And if you feel that God is far away from you, there's the problem. It's drawing near to God. How do we draw near to God? Well, some of us think that it's some ethereal, charismatic sort of thing that we have emotional buildup with. That's not true. What is true is that as you draw near to God, it means that you know him better and better. You spend time with him in his word, listening to what he has to say, not listening to what you think he wants to say, not putting words in his mouth, but listening to God. And God speaks through his word, does he not? It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Let's bear in mind that good relationship, close relationship to anyone, including the Lord, depends on good communication. Have we been faithfully listening to God through his word? Another year has gone by. And so I sat there and I said, did I spend time in passages of scripture? Did I spend time trying to figure out, you know, one of the things that Phil is trying to accomplish with this series that's coming up starting next Sunday is an opportunity to understand the flow of that scarlet thread of redemption that runs through the Old Testament and into the New. Did I spend time in the scriptures? Did I read through the Bible perhaps this year? Did I meditate upon the great themes of scripture? And if not, and especially if we never have, if we don't know, if we just say that I have this emotional connection to Jesus, which by the way is way too familiar in my estimation, if I have a relationship with the Christ of God, and I don't spend time with him, I don't spend time in communication with him and listening to him communicate to me through the word, then are we really taking our relationship to God seriously? So I have a suggestion. I have a goal for us all to work on this coming year. And I found this unique tool this last weekend that I'd like to pass out to you. Could you guys up here in the front, Paul, would you and Pete pass these out for me? This really is a unique approach. I've never seen this approach to reading the scriptures before, you can see that it's 52 weeks and that every day you get an opportunity to read a different part of the scriptures. Now, I know that about Genesis 43, we always get stuck and then we never finish, you know? I mean, or we all understand really well what's in the book of Genesis because we've been there so many times, and Leviticus is sort of strange to us because we haven't been there ever. And by the way, Leviticus is still hard to get through anyway, but here you have an opportunity, I think, to go through the scriptures. For example, in this next week, starting today, you read Romans 1 and 2. And then tomorrow, on Monday, you read Genesis 1 through 3. And then on Tuesday, Joshua 1 through 5. And then on Wednesday, Psalm 1 and 2. And then on Thursday, Job 1 and 2. And then on Friday, Isaiah 1 through 6. And Saturday, Matthew 1 and 2. So there gives you an opportunity to be spread throughout the scriptures so that you get a good smattering of what is taking place within the Word. And I think that you'll see that as you go through this, it starts to tie together in really neat ways, and you don't get stuck in Leviticus. Okay? So that's important for us to be able to do that. So I want you to take this, and I'm gonna emphasize this throughout the year. And we're gonna put a big one of these up on the wall and out there in the foyer or the narthex? I guess it's the foyer. And we're going to see if we can't get together and go through God's Word and keep each other accountable to studying the Scriptures throughout the time. Because communication is important. It's not always me telling God what to do in prayer. It's not always me having an emotional thing. It is listening to what God has to say. And believe me, brothers and sisters, your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and you think God is telling you something when in fact He's saying something totally opposite from the Word. So I want you to pay attention to God's Word this year, and I think that this will encourage us to do that. It will encourage us to keep fresh in listening to what God has to say. So the importance of the Word is important. It is very important. It is a key factor in communicating with God and allowing Him to communicate with us. The second part that we need to think about this time is the importance of prayer. It's not just the Word. It's the importance of prayer. I said communication is a two-way street, right? When people come to my office and they want to talk about their marriage relationship, what is it that we go to? Roxy and I have this thing about communication is the key to your marriage, you know. Well, that used to be a book that was written years ago. I think the key to your marriage is saying, I'm sorry. But that's a whole other thing. Please forgive me, you know. So the importance of prayer comes up as a second factor in this deepening our love for the Lord. Have we been steadfast in talking to God through prayer? We listen to what He has to say. And it's even effective to pray back His words to us. Lord, if I understand this correctly, this is what You're telling me. This is what You're saying to me. Any effective communication requires two ways. It's a two-way street. And therefore, the study of God's Word should be joined with regular, concerted, directed, honest prayer. Now, there's a prayer meeting scheduled for you to join. It happens every Wednesday morning at 7:30. And you're all invited to come. And that's probably, to some of you, you can't do that. I understand that. But it's not designed so that everybody would come to it, but that the people who are available in their schedule can come and be together and be encouraged by listening to the prayers of others and being prayed for by others. And I would suggest that there be a time for prayer in every group meeting that we have. Whether it's young marrieds, and I know the young marrieds do this, they have a prayer list of their own and they pray for each other. That's a wonderful thing. Ladies Bible study, I'm sure that you all do that as well. Awana, a prayer time before Awana begins. Just, it doesn't have to go on forever, but pray. Whatever the situation is, pray. If in a Sunday morning when we're together and we're visiting with each other and someone says, I have this problem and something's going on, there's nothing wrong with stopping right there in the pews and praying for each other. I would love, dearly love, to see that take place. So let's determine in this year that it's ahead of us to increase the degree of prayerfulness this year. You remember Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with perseverance and petition for all the saints. So it's not only the relationship between God and myself, it's a relationship between me and you. That's what that prayer list at the back of our messenger is about. It's remembering to pray for your brothers and sisters. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by not remembering to pray for you. So let's be careful that we pray with all prayer and all petition at all times in the Spirit, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So in our text, we were concentrating upon Jesus' words regarding what he saw as the greatest commands. And we've looked at our relationship to the Lord, and as that relationship matures, we find ourselves thinking about our relationships with other believers. So, how about it? How about your relationship with people that you know that are believers? How about your relationships with people who are in our church? Have they improved during this past year? Has our love for each other increased this year? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Having to do with our relationship with each other. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. And here the Apostle Paul writes in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he says this, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Verse 10, for indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Grace Brethren Church, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. So how is that expressed in your life? The fact that you're a member of a congregation of people, how does your love for the brethren express itself? Are we any closer to anyone within the fellowship of this church that we were last year? Have you gone to the home of someone else in the church? Have you had someone in your home? How about, this is an easy one, how about going to lunch after church on Sunday morning? You know, we all get in our little habits, you know, in our little group things. I'm not going to call cliques because I don't think that's what's going on. But are we careful to look around us, and when there are people here that we don't know, are we careful to go and greet them? Are we careful to go and say, hey, have you got lunch plans? And get to know someone, because I'm telling you, the way to grow churches is by building relationships. And we're fair at it. We're fair at it. I wouldn't say we're good at it. We're just fair. Have you been to dinner with somebody? Have you taken somebody to a concert? Or, you know, I mean, there are these things that we can do with each other that just build up our relationships with one another. Do we even know who our newer brethren are? Although we're relatively small, you know, each year brings new folks. But if they come through the door and go out the door and never come back, then I think that we need to accept some responsibility for the idea that A, they may not like what they saw, and B, we may not have responded to them in a way that is in a loving fashion. So we need to make an effort. We need to make an effort as we look around. We probably know each other's name, but maybe you look around the room and you don't know what somebody else's name is. Maybe it's time for you to take the initiative and to say, hey, I don't know your name. You don't have to say that, but, you know, break down that wall. Take the time with each other. Because as we mature, our relationships with other believers need to improve. And we need to be aware that it's our responsibility to improve them. I know that some of us sit in the pew and say, you know, bless me, I dare you. But it should be the other way around. We should be daring ourselves to bless others. That is what love is about. Well, and as we mature, it's not just the relationships that Jesus has in mind within the church body. Because he says to love our neighbor as ourself. Is knowing people in the world a priority for you? As the people of God, I think it can be said without a whole lot of difficulty that we have an important responsibility toward friends who don't know Christ, toward enemies, love your enemy, toward your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself, to relatives. I mean, we all have people within our families who either don't know the Lord, have never heard the gospel, or have rejected the Lord outright. But have we built bridges to them and not built walls? Are we so intimidated by their lack of belief that we don't have any relationship with them at all? Hard questions, I think, but things that we need to examine within ourselves to put the effort out as mature believers in Christ to the life of someone else. You remember Jesus' words in Matthew 5? It's the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what he says. I'll just read it to you. It's Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. He says, "You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So there we are. Are we salt? I mean, are we the flavoring that adds to the life of this world? Are we the light of the world? Do people see us as light? Or are we, you know, curmudgeonly and hateful about our religion? So we're to be a positive influence in our world. You're the salt of the earth. So that you might demonstrate God's love to each other. You're the light of the world. Have we made progress as you look into your own life? Have you made progress in developing meaningful relationships with people who are around you, people who don't know the Lord, people with whom you have nothing in common, but who need Christ? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So when you see your neighbor and your neighbor needs help, do you help them? That's an extension of Christ's love to that person. The beginning, perhaps, of building a relationship with them so that they might see the gospel lived out in your life. So as we speak of these things, perhaps it comes to our minds that we've not managed our time wisely. I mean, we're all busy. I mean, I can fill 50, 60, 70 hours a week without any problem whatsoever, doing my own thing. But to manage our time as believers means to take Jesus seriously back there in Luke. Love the Lord your God. It takes time. It takes effort. Love your neighbor as yourself. It takes time. It takes effort. Remember what I said at the beginning? The idea here is not to develop guilt. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3. He says this: forget what lies behind. Forget what you did or what you didn't do. Forget being guilty. It's not going to help you do anything. Forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's time to stop looking back now and let's look ahead. So with this attitude of pressing forward, I'll suggest some resolutions that we might want to make this year. Love the Lord your God. Resolve to draw nearer to God. What does that mean? Take me seriously. That might be a step. That's not the only step. There are some steps in your heart of hearts that only you know. There may be things that you have to walk away from. There may be relationships that aren't good for you, that aren't healthy for you. There may be places that you go that you probably shouldn't. There may be attitudes and ideas that you have that are antithetical to what the Scriptures have to teach. draw near to God, resolve to draw near to God by having a daily reading program and time for the Lord to speak to you. Why? Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Do you want to know if what you're doing is right before God? Be in the Word. Amen. Listen to what the Scriptures have to say. Read all that you can from God's Word on your own. There's something to say about books as well. Somebody made the observation that if the Lord were here and he looked in a Christian bookstore, he'd say, shut up. I mean, some of this stuff that's being written in the name of Christ is just junk. I don't know what else to say. If you get a hold of a book that illustrates and helps us, you understand what the Scriptures are teaching, that's one thing. But if somebody's going to go off on a tangent about, you know, in his inflated mind, the Scripture says, by visions he's seen, come on, folks. Scripture speaks very clearly and very plainly, and we need to understand it carefully. And if we enhance our study of God's Word through commentaries and through things that tell us and explain to us what the words mean and what the direction of the original author was and what the original people thought he meant, then that's one thing. But to go off on some wild tangent about how I feel about something is just, it's a lose-lose. Love the Lord your God. Love His Word. Be diligent in studying His Word. Be diligent in prayer. Be thankful for God speaking to your heart and to your life. And so it's love the Lord your God. And then it's love one another as I have loved you. You remember Jesus in John says, as His disciples are about ready to see Him crucified, He says, a new commandment I give to you. So it's from Luke 10, it's love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, a new command I give to you in John. And in John, He says, here's the new commandment. Love each other as I have loved you. So resolve to become closer to your brothers and sisters. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. I know that some of you are going to be gone in a few weeks, back to school, back to wherever it is you came from. You know, you're going to be back. You're going to go back there. This doesn't have anything to do with this particular body, particularly. It has to do with all of us. Love each other. Love each other as Christ loved you. There's no limit to that. There's no lack of forgiveness there. There's no lack of understanding. There's no lack of concern. Here, you know, a silly illustration. Learn everybody's name. Begin to connect a couple of names and faces until you learn them all. Have a different person or family in your home once a month or every other month just to get acquainted. It doesn't have to be, you know, we all know we don't live in the Taj Mahal, right? That's a mausoleum anyway. We don't all live in a mansion, right? We don't. We all live as real people, don't we? Yeah, I got dirty dishes sitting in the sink this morning. I mean, come on. It's no harm, no foul for you to know me the way I really am. And the other way is true as well. There's no harm for me to know you. As a matter of fact, it enhances our relationship quite a bit because we stop lying to each other about what wonderful people we are. We're not wonderful. We're sinners saved by grace. Get used to it. How about visiting people? You know, we have a couple, three folks who can't get out very well most of the week. Might enjoy a visit from you. Sit down with a cup of coffee and or go to Starbucks, or you know, whatever you guys do. I don't know what you do. Okay, so love one another as I have loved you. And the last is love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's tough to do when his dog wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I understand that. I understand all the foibles about neighbors. I get it. But resolve to get to know your non-Christian acquaintances better. I'm not saying, you know, grab them by the throat and shake them around and say, don't you realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that you need to be saved? And no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that relationships build that privilege of sharing the gospel with people. You need to have relationships with the unsaved. And are they pleasant? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But it isn't for you. It's for them. That's what love is. It reaches out to the unlovely. That's what Christ did for us. That's what he wants to do with others. And along this line, you got a pencil out because I want you to write this down. There's a book I'd like to have you read. You're going to have to buy it off the internet because I didn't have enough money to buy it for you. It's a book, it's published by the Navigators, and it's called Your Home, a Lighthouse. That's the title of the book. Your Home, a Lighthouse. And it's written by Bob and Betty Jacks. Your Home, a Lighthouse. Bob and Betty Jacks. Now, this is about the umpteenth printing. I got it back at the first printing. I still have it in my office. I've read it many times. It is an excellent book. It talks about giving you insight into how to use your home, how to use your place in the neighborhood to begin to reach out to friends and neighbors who live around you, to have a lighthouse attitude about your home and about where you live. I know it's hard to break into your neighborhood. I know it's hard sometimes because they find out you're believers and they don't want anything to do with you. I understand all that. I'm in the same situation that you are in. But these guys give you some insights into how do you do that? How do you reach out into your neighbor? How do you get it started? Does it work? How do I make it work? How can I involve myself in the life of my neighbor? And it may start with something just as simple as seeing your neighbor outside struggling with a trash barrel and helping him drag it in. I mean, they're just really simple things that you can do to help. Okay, so let's turn the corner and get this over with. Now, as I close this morning, I realize I have offered you something that isn't terribly complicated. But what I want us all to recognize is that we're called by the Lord to live out our days in service to God and in service to others, whether they're brothers and sisters in Christ or whether they're our neighbors. Our lifestyle should indicate a service mentality, a servant attitude. So let's determine to live out the rest of this new year living a lifestyle that speaks well of us as Christians. The world looked at the first century church and said, "Behold how they love one another." And I think incumbent with that is they loved us as well. The world was touched by the changed hearts and lives and attitudes of the people who had named Christ as Lord and Savior. What makes us different? Let's ask the Lord for His Spirit and for His guidance in the year ahead. Let's ask Him to give us a spirit of obedience to the point that we become servants in our attitudes toward others, not expecting anything from them in return, but doing good, because that's what we're called to do. Being what God has created us to be in the new man. So we want to increase a closer relationship to God and our brothers and the lost. We want to live as a blessing to other people's lives, not for what we get out of it, but for what they get out of it, to live with a clear conscience before God, to say, "I've looked in my heart and I can't find anything in there that is sinful toward the Lord." Time's a precious commodity, folks. Have you gotten used to that idea? It's a precious commodity. Some of us who are sitting in this room may not be here in January the 1st of 2018. You realize that, don't you? Life is short. Life is a blessing. Life is a vapor. Life needs to be carefully used. And it needs to be carefully used for the Savior, to honor what God has done for us in our lives. And I hope that these suggestions for obedience will help you. and will cause you to stop and think about the new year that's coming ahead, and will help you to live your life of obedience. And because of that, in your life receive great joy and great peace as you serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for this word. We are grateful. And Lord, we pray that as we think about these things, we might participate in them, that we might truly become disciples of Jesus Christ, not just followers. So help us, Father, in this year that is ahead, to consider serving you more carefully, to listening to what you have to say, to watching the word for guiding light. And Lord, help us to go out into the world and be lights in the world. We thank you for this word in Jesus' name.